Dinner Report Oxfam piece comes down in about 3, 2, and it's for the 19th of June. It is reasonably date specific, but could run again. And it's for the 19th of June, 92, and comes down in about 3, 2, and... Well, the Earth Summit of last week was, amongst other things, an attempt by organizers to put environmental, social, and development concerns on the same table to get the international community to recognize the link between the issues. Well, that same effort is currently being made on a smaller scale in a collaboration between three Toronto groups and the Center for Encounters and Dialogue in Mexico. Margarita González-Saravia works with the center in rural Mexico, and Gillian Cranius is a member of Citizens for a Safe Environment, one of the Toronto groups involved. And they are both currently on a cross-country tour giving workshops to environmental groups on linking social justice to the environment. They are in Vancouver today and gave a workshop over the lunch hour, and they've come out to UBC this afternoon and have joined me in the studio on the program. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
I wonder if we could start off this by, first of all, by Margarita talking about the Center for Encounters and Dialogue in Mexico. What are you doing with the center? Describe it a little bit.
Well, the center have several programs. I am working especially in one linked with communities near Mexico City in a province called Morelos. Mm-hmm. We work with little municipalities there, yes, in environmental issues and development issues too.
Yeah, I see. And so, Gillian, in Toronto, you've linked with Mexico, and there's as I understand it, a number of groups in Toronto that have got this set up with Mexico. How's that working?
Well, this particular project that we're part of, why we're here in Vancouver, there's three organizations in Toronto. The organization I work with is Citizens for a Safe Environment, and it's an environmental group in a local industrial neighborhood in Toronto. And we've linked with a development organization called Pueblito Canada, who continue to work with SED in Mexico, so they were sort of our initial contact with Margarita and her work. And also a group called the Social Investment Organization. And we've all come together to start making more links with the environmental movement in Canada, in Mexico, and even within Canada to link the environmental issues with some of the social justice issues in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our country.
Now, where did the impetus for that link come? Because it seems you've taken different groups, environmental and social justice and the whole things, and kind of mm-hmm. brought them together. Where did that impetus come from? I mean, how did they come together and why?
Partly people, just talking to people, partly unsaid, I would say, in the sense that people started thinking more about environment and development. And also, in the neighborhood we work in Toronto, Citizens for a Safe Environment, these issues are strongly linked because it's a poor neighborhood of Toronto, and most of the waste of Toronto is diverted and sorted and processed in that neighborhood. And so the issues of poverty and equity and who gets a fair share of waste and all those things have been tied in with our environmental work.
Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously see this combination of environmentalism and development as being very important in terms of development globally. Do you see everyone around the world having to eventually get on this sort of train to link environmentalism with development, or we're going to get nowhere? Do you see that as being a necessity?
Well, yes, I think it's a very important necessity now in the context of the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Right, yes.
So we are trying to do the workshops in the context of this issue.
Right. Now, I wonder if perhaps groups that are strictly sort of environmental groups, whether you see them perhaps as almost isolating themselves, as 20 years down the line, environmentalists who are strictly saving the whales or doing whatever are going to be kind of missing the boat a little bit. And if we really want to get anywhere, we're going to have to combine the mm-hmm. whole situation.
Well, I think in Canada, because the roots of all these issues are similar in terms of the economic roots and who's making decisions about which way our societies and our economies and our environment are moving, mm-hmm. are all similar. You know, the root is the same kinds of problems. I think, yes, we do have to move more in that direction. It doesn't mean that we all have to work on every issue, but to recognize that our issues are linked. And also, we really are trying to promote a lot of exchange between groups working on different issues, because often environmentalists have worked only among environmentalists, and so we're not learning from the other movements.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And vice versa.
How are you hoping to kind of coordinate that? I mean, obviously, if you've got a workshop going here and you're talking to environmental groups, but I mean, do you see that? That's obviously a first step. But how do you see it's roping all these fairly diverse group of community of people in together?
It's a big sounding challenge.
Yeah, well, it does.
Like Margarita mentioned, I think around NAFTA, we're hoping to. There's already coalitions in Mexico, in Canada, and also some groups in the United States who are working together on the issue of free trade. And so we're trying to get more environmentalists involved in that. And throughout the workshops, we're also encouraging people to look in their own communities. What are the links? How can they get involved across sort of sectors in that way? We'll be putting together a report of all the workshops after we finish going across the country. But we don't see ourselves as coordinating, you know, everything. Yeah. We're just here to help stimulate and help people network.
Yeah. How much of this is going on around the world that you're aware of? There's this link which you two have going on. Do you see this happening more and more in other places that you've heard of? Groups in say, I don't know, Germany and Africa getting together? And or is this something of, do you think you're pioneering a bit here?
In Latin America, mm-hmm. that is happening. I think that is relation with the economical globalization that mm-hmm. we are living in all over the world. So that means also that the groups try to find alternative solutions for the environmental problems, for the development problems, mm-hmm. because all the things are being globalizing now.
Yeah. Well, the Earth Summit, which has just wrapped up in Rio, was called, I mean, the official name was the UN Conference on Environment and Development. And obviously there's a recognition there that the two are linked and that the international community's got to get involved.
A little bit.
A little bit.
on the upper levels. But I think that, yeah, internationally, I mean, I would say that people who have suffered from environmental and social injustice have always known that these issues are linked. And it's a lot of us in the northern countries who haven't been linking them because we're much more removed from environmental degradation, from poverty. Some of us, not all of us in Canada, there's yeah. poverty here.
But we've been shipping our problems elsewhere.
As well, yeah. So I think, out of UNCED maybe, I mean, I know there's been the parallel conference of NGOs.
Yes.
And I think a lot of northern NGOs are, we're coming to realize more and more that we have a lot to learn. And perhaps more to learn from southern NGOs than they have to learn from us. So this kind of exchange is happening more and more.
There was some sense that played in the Canadian media. I know I read articles in the paper that there was, with the Earth Summit, there was a little bit of a feeling that the North, the first world was saying, okay, we've developed now, you're trying to do the same thing in places like Rio and Central America and so on. You're trying to do the same things as we've been doing, but don't do it that way because it's nasty. And the North is trying to dictate to the South what to do. Do you get any sense of that? I mean, you just said there that the South seem to have a some of the developing countries have a better sense of how everything needs to work together. Some of the feeling I got from the media that I watched was mm-hmm. that the South is somehow resentful of the whole thing. Is do we have lessons to learn from them, or are they learning from us, or what?
Go ahead, Marguerite.
Well, I think that the development model we have uh-huh. now, it's don't work anymore for anybody. Not for the development countries and undeveloped countries also, because it's a model that it been creating a lot of damage, not only environmental, also social uh-huh. problems. So we start to think about new models of development now.
And is the movement for that coming from the countries where the most development is having to take place, or is that happening from countries like Canada, or is it a combination, or where's that new model coming from? Where's that new idea coming from?
I think it's a combination. That's for this exchange are very important because we have some things to learn also from Canada and United States, because you are having a lot of environmental problems now that we don't have there. So mm-hmm. I think it's both.
Yeah. Now, you both mentioned the free trade agreement, which is going to involve Mexico and the U.S. and Canada coming up, and I know you've been addressing that in some way. How do you see that affecting the whole sort of development issue? Is it going to be? You think it's going to be bad news for? Do you have concerns about it?
Yeah, we have a lot of concerns, and we've heard a lot of concerns too through the work we've done. 5 workshops And one of the biggest concerns, it's been interesting because Margarita's been talking about the democracy movement in Mexico, and she's been explaining that in the workshops, and it makes us realize how we need a stronger democracy movement here in Canada because we have very little knowledge about what's going on with this free trade agreement and very little control, so that I think people across the country are starting to realize that we have to organize at the community level, at the grassroots level, and for some real participation in these questions of trade and globalization. Yeah.
Now, you started to do that. I mean, you are community groups and you are organizing at the grassroots level. How much effect is it going to have? I mean, you're just beginning, and I mean, it's obviously a start and you feel that's the way to go, but are you going to have any effect on this agreement which they're working on?
Well, we don't know whether we can stop it at this point, but we all have faith that if we work in a certain direction, then hopefully we'll be able to move our societies in that direction. I mean, I think it's hard for us to assess where we can go. We just have to commit ourselves and work with others to create the kinds of alternatives that we want to see. So we're also trying to look not just in these workshops, and I know in my own work, not just at what we don't want, i.e. the free trade agreement that's being negotiated now, but what kinds of development do we want to see?
Yeah.
And that's what I've been working on a bit in Toronto with community gardens, which is a way to link anti-poverty work and environmental work. And Margarita's work with SED is very much creating alternatives.
Yeah. Now, you said you had a number of concerns and you'd heard a number of concerns,
mm-hmm.
and you said that with a fair bit of passion. What are some of the concerns you've heard? Because, as you said earlier, we've heard very little about it.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about loss of jobs in Canada, and an important point, I think, to make is that because labor prices are so much cheaper in Mexico and whatnot, we know that the large corporations will move down to Mexico, but a lot of us sort of feel, well, that means Mexicans are going to get a lot more jobs. But Margarita's made a point that in Mexico, perhaps you want to explain that.
Well, in Mexico, our economy is supported by little and medium industry.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of industry can't compete with those big companies.
Yeah.
You see, and many of these little and medium industries are broken now. So the unemployment in Mexico is also a big problem we have. And the technology of these big companies don't need too much employee, you see. And so it's not a thing that the workers of Mexico will take your jobs.
Yeah.
No? We have the same problem than you.
So I'm forced to wonder, and I guess you people aren't the ones to ask, but I'm forced to wonder what anybody in Ottawa or Washington or Mexico City sees in the agreement. I mean, if it's going to be bad for all of us,
mm-hmm.
have you heard anybody trying to defend this thing? I know you're the wrong people to ask for the other side of the argument, but...
I have heard of everybody, nobody wants the free trade agreement. Mm-hmm. And I think it happens because only a few people is participating in this deal, no?
Yeah.
If there's only a few people participating, it doesn't take a lot to... I mean, it's corporate interests. It's the multinationals who are interested in having the freedom to determine really what kind of trade happens and how it happens. And one of the issues, I mean, there's stuff that's come up with the Canada-American free trade, and I believe it was out here on the West Coast with fisheries that there was an environmental conservation project where they were investigating fish to keep just a scientific study to watch the fisheries and sort of foresee anything that might be coming and manage them that way. And that was brought to the dispute resolution committee because it was considered by the Americans to be a trade barrier,
mm-hmm.
and it was knocked down then, so now no longer can we continue to do these scientific studies.
Yeah.
And the question is, who was on that committee? And there weren't any environmentalists or any scientists on that committee. So that it's just a very few people who are making these kinds of decisions which are affecting our environment and our society.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem. And groups of people like yourselves are saying, hang on a second here. So where do you take this from here? I know you've done the workshop in Vancouver earlier today, and you're off to other places in Canada. How much more work are the two of you going to do together? Are you trying to involve more groups all the time? And where do you see taking this whole movement from here? Do you know?
Well, I think in Vancouver, at the end of the workshop today, this morning, we had had a lot of networking happening in terms of some of the organizations here,
mm-hmm.
which are working on these issues. The Action Canada Network, which is also trying to spread more out of Vancouver all across BC.
Mm-hmm.
There's the BC Environment and Development Working Group, which has had three people from different countries in the south, different continents, Asia, Africa, Latin America, up doing a tour of communities all around BC, talking about community-based forestry and sustainable forestry. That's the kind of stuff that maybe is happening here in Vancouver for people to tap into. We're also hoping that the work that Margarita is working on in Morelos, she's working with small municipalities and small municipal representatives, just from villages, village people, on the waste issue, and trying to look at source separation and maybe some income generation for the communities around that. So the four groups who have been involved in this project and coordinating this project, we're going to be looking into trying to get funding for Margarita to elaborate and work on that project in Mexico.
Where would that funding come from? Internationally, Mexico, Canada?
Both. It would come from both. And perhaps something more will come out of that again in terms of exchange, maybe a little bit more focused on waste. We've been talking about all the issues, environment issues, in this tour, in this project. But because Margarita works on waste and Citizens for a Safe Environment works on waste, in Toronto we might be doing that kind of a linkage. And some of the groups here in Vancouver were talking in the workshop about making those kinds of smaller links. Link with one group in a city or a town or a village, mm-hmm. in another country which is doing similar work, and just share information and visit. And so that kind of, it's like citizen diplomacy during the Cold War, when towns linked up and individuals visited.
Exactly. I was also wondering, you mentioned in there sort of groups getting together. I wondered whether there's a scope for say, smaller communities in Canada to get together with networks that haven't been so far. I don't know, in BC we've got places like Kitimat where smelters and things are closing down because of whatever reasons. And I mean, there must be some way that small groups here in BC in the developed world can get together and start working on this as well.
Well, I think the BC Environment and Development Working Group's been doing that, because mm-hmm. they've been touring around, rural areas of BC. They've been a month just traveling around this province. So, in a sense, our trip is, every group and every project can complement each other, because our trip has been limited in that we've only been able to visit larger cities. We're only visiting about 8 cities, and so that's limiting in a way, and yet we're able to carry some information across the country. But hopefully as well in localities, even within Vancouver, often an environmental group works in one community, maybe link up with another community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you both well with this, and I thank you very much for coming into the studio this afternoon. It's good of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us.
Margarita Gonzalez-Saravia works with the Center for Encounters and Dialogue in Mexico, and Gillian Cranius is a member of a citizens group in Toronto. The two of them are touring across Canada, giving workshops to environmental groups on linking social justice and the environment. This is the Dinner Report from CITR-FM at the University of British Columbia. I'm Ian Gunn. Thank you very much. That's very good of you. Yes, thank you. Margarita Gonzalez-Saravia works with the Center for Encounters and Dialogue in Mexico.